I'm dating an addict. God, I'm really not looking forward to this at all. You know, it's a strange paradox, right? Because, you know, when I first came in here, you know, I used to think, I can't wait to do one of these, you know, in front of everybody, tell my story, blah, blah, blah. I'm here now, and I don't want to be here. Genuinely, I do not want to be here, but that's part of me. The other part of me wants to be here, you know. I want to thank Michael for asking me, everybody else that's been involved in putting this on today. And do you know what, it's weird, I've been sitting there listening to other people's chairs, and you know, this topic of spiritual experience, you know, and you know, everything's subjective, right? You know, some people are focused on their journey, some people are focused specifically on the book, and for me, I've got a totally different take on it. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do, you know. I'm just going to kind of share my experience of yeah, how my spirit got reignited, you know. Because I think back, you know, one of the things that I keep on thinking about when you talk about spirituality, if we go ask Google, Google says, spirituality is a broad concept with room for many perspectives. In general, it includes a sense of connection to something bigger than ourselves, and it typically involves a search for meaning in life. As such, it is a universal human experience, something that touches us all. And you know, my spiritual experience, my journey, didn't start coming into recovery. You know, that's just my experience, you know. When I think back to being a kid, you know, I wasn't one of those children that was like disconnected from things, you know. I was fully connected, you know. Most of all connected to me, connected to what was in here, connected to my brothers and my sisters, you know, my pals, you know, my mum, you know, and going through that kind of, feeling that kind of way was always like, I don't know, how can I put it? It was a comfort to me, you know? You know, and I recognize, you know, by going through what I've been through today, you know, a lot of the time when I was going through all my hard times, when I was using, you know, all I wanted to do was be that kid again. That kid that wasn't tainted by anything, you know. And you know, so I feel like I had a good concept of spirituality, and that concept was a natural concept. But you know, as time went on, you know things changed. And quite simply, when I say that, you know, different experiences in my life, you know, and those different experiences in my life, you know, they caused shifts in my perspective, you know. You know, we can look at a spiritual experience today and say it is a shift of perspective, you know. And it was then, and it is now, you know. And I think back to, you know, for me, my very first spiritual experience has got to be when I was 15 years old. I was in Scala Cinema, which is in King's Cross. And yeah, it was when I took my first E. You know, and for me, you know, that was what I would call a spiritual experience. You know, I was taken to a place that I'd never been before, you know, and yeah, it was something that was just, for me, it was just absolutely amazing. It really was amazing for me, you know, and I kind of chased all of that stuff because, you know, that spirituality being something that's beyond just the normal, just beyond kind of what the average person was doing, you know. And all that time for me as well, it was also a great time for me kind of being part of, you know, part of something. And you know, I think about all these experiences and I think about, you know, like I said, about shifts in perspective, because you know, the next one that I kind of want to talk about, and I think some of us have all experienced it, you know. Well, I hope we have. Is quite simply this. When I was 15 years old, I used to hang around with these two guys. There was three of us. And one summer, one fateful summer, both of my best pals, lost their virginity, and I didn't. And they used to call me Narstab. Can you Narstab? You know what I mean? And you know what? That haunted me for the next 2 years, you know? And then obviously, you know, my spiritual experience came, like Bill said, when I arrived, you know? You know, and all of those kinds of things that I'm talking about, like, for me, is like about how like my soul has been lit up, you know? Because I kind of think back to kind of my journey, you know? Like I said, I felt like I was always connected, and, you know, I went through life and I started doing stuff, you know, which is, you know, taking drugs and you know, going through that process of doing things that maybe I wasn't too proud of, you know. And by kind of going through that kind of process, I felt like I began to kind of lose myself. You know, and you know, when I first came in here and I was introduced to the big book, you know, part of the big book talks about, you know, the purpose of the book is to connect you with a power greater than yourself. And it says that power can be found in each and every single one of us. You know, and, you know, I've heard this saying, which I agree today, that powerlessness is godlessness, you know? You know, not connected to God. And through my journey and through, like I said, you know, the times of my using and the things that I did, you know, I became disconnected from God. I always kind of liken it to like a statue, right? You know, it's like my spirit was this pristine statue, right? This huge, pristine, perfectly chiseled statue, Adonis, like me. You know, beautiful statue, massive, and throughout going through my using and the things that I did, slowly but surely, this statue was getting chipped away. Just getting chipped away, chiseled away, you know. Slowly but surely, that got halfway down, three quarters of the way down, one eighth down, until there was this little, tiny pebble. You know, and funnily enough, you know, my addiction, no matter how much it chipped away at this statue, which I call my spirit, it could never break that little pebble. You know, that pebble was still always there, and it's almost like a little flicker of light that was constantly there. Constantly there, and never went. And, you know, by coming back in, or should I, by coming into this program, you know, that was reignited, you know. I want to talk about the things that were going on with me. So, you know, people always classed me as a spiritual person. People always used to say, like, you're really spiritual, you know, and I guess that's because I did look out for people, and I used to have this thing about, which I still do today, is that I was always welcoming and accepting of the unexplainable. You know, I wasn't one of those people that needed to have hard concrete proof. You know, I'd think about the way that people made me feel, you know. You know, if you were to ask a scientist, they would say that, oh yeah, you know, somebody does whatever, you feel this joy, it does this in your brain and blah, 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 and that's how you feel. But, you know, I kind of see beyond that. I see beyond that because, you know, the way I look at all of us, we're all like these kind of spiritual beings, and that was something that always stuck with me. And as I went through all of the pain and the loneliness of my using, you know, that little pebble that I spoke about was always yearning and longing for something. You know, I would tell girlfriends that I'm gonna become a born again Christian, which they would normally laugh. You know, every single cabbie, you know, no matter where they were from, I'll tell them that, you know, I want to do the Shahada. You know, I want to become a Muslim. And the funniest thing about that was, is because I kind of knew that there were some spiritual lines that I had to live my life by, I wanted to live my life by. And lo and behold, you know, what do I find? You know, this kind of, this fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous, you know, which for me saved my life. You know, it truly did save my life. I've got a few notes down here, so that's why I'm kind of going through. And this is real left field for me, because normally I would just share my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm trying not to to focus too much on this specific spiritual thing, but also at the same time just share my experience. I always felt like there was something in me that was going to be reignited. And what happened for me, you know, these changes, they talk about these changes and these shifts in perspective. I remember, I'm gonna go back to the day that I actually properly came into these rooms, you know. And it was after a 4-day bender, and I can remember my face had changed shape. And it actually had, like, you know, the people around me agreed that it changed shape. We had been on it for 4 days, but it genuinely had changed shape. And I went out and I did whatever I did, but cut a long story short, what basically happened was the girl that was in my life at the time, I cheated on her, and she found out. And when she found out, you know, it's not the first time I've cheated on someone. It wasn't the last either, but you know, that basically when that happened, you know, I saw the pain that I'd caused this girl, and I'd caused people lots of pain in the past. You know, lots and lots of pain in the past, you know, whether it be directly or indirectly. But something changed, and this was a like an awakening for me. Because when I saw the pain that I caused that girl at that time, it didn't go to my head. Because I don't know about you, I've got the ability to, it's like Rubik's Cube, right? I've got the ability to shape anything and justify anything the way that I want it to look like. You know, and it didn't go to my head, it went straight to my heart. And that was a massive change for me. For once in my life, I'd run out of excuses. I wasn't trying to make something fit the way I wanted it to fit. And by going through that process, you know, it was almost like, you know, we talk about that kind of internal snap, you know, that was the first real spiritual experience that I had at the very, very beginning of my recovery. Because I knew at that point that something had to change, you know, and I knew that I just couldn't do this on my own, and I knew that I was gonna do it. It was so clear to me that something was gonna happen. I was at a crossroads, you know, a turning point. And the first thing that I did was I got on the internet and I phoned the CA helpline. And you know, 6 years before that, I'd been introduced to CA. I'd been to one meeting, and I don't know why. I'd been through loads of other different processes, drug counselors, all sorts of different courses and whatnot. But that time, my spirit led me to CA, and it said that this was the place, this is where you're going to find the answers. So I picked up the phone, and you know, I'm 37 years old at the time. You know, I'd been using for quite some time. I'm beaten, I'm 22 stone, I think I'm double sexy, and I look really rough. And you know, I speak to this woman, and I don't know who this woman is to this day. I'd love to meet her, you know, in that service on the helpline. But I speak to this woman, and for the very first time in my 37 years, I get some identification with another person. And this woman sat there, well, she might have been standing, I don't know. But she spoke to me and she told me about how I felt, what I'd been doing. She told me there's a solution. Said it's a program of abstinence, it's a program of action. And she said the pain that you're feeling, you know, it can come to an end. You know, she filled me with hope. And I put that phone down and once again, you know, this realization, because when I put that phone down, I was just blindsided by this wave of emotion. You know, and I just started crying like a baby, you know, absolutely sobbing. And I was shocked. You know, my girlfriend at the time was shocked. You know, I look back on it and it was the very first time I'd actually got hope, you know, from another person. And it says in our book, you know, recovery begins when one addict speaks to another, sharing their experience, strength and hope. And that was my first experience of recovery. So from there, you know, I was directed to a meeting and I went to my very first meeting. You know, and you know, at this meeting I listened to somebody who spoke about smoking crack like a fiend. You know, I smoke crack, but not like a fiend. You know, I was just more of a powdered cocaine kind of guy. Classy. But anyway, this guy, you know, he spoke about the way that he felt, the things he was doing and whatnot. And by him sort of talking about that, you know, at the end of it, you know, I got this identification. And all this time, slowly, you know, I talk about this little pebble, this little light. You know, those embers, you know, they started getting ignited, you know. And so I just knew that this was something for me. You know, the spiritual experience for me is that I began to awaken. I'd been in a slumber for so long. You know, I'd been lost, totally lost, didn't know what to do. And just through a conversation with one woman and sitting down in a meeting, slowly I started getting direction. And some of the first things that kind of came to mind for me was, God, I remember actually, you know, a week into this program, sort of doing my 90-90. I remember a week into this program. In fact, no, it was 3 days in. I remember meeting a guy, and he said to me to come to a meeting the following day. And I said to him, yeah, I'm going to come to the meeting. And when I got home, it was actually pissing down with rain. So I just thought, you know, I'm going to stay at home, I'm going to read my big book. And he phoned me up, which I didn't expect him to, but he said he was going to phone me, and he did. And he said, oh, you're going to come to this meeting? I said, no, I'm not going. I said, I'm going to go to another meeting. And he said, he said, do you know what? He said, make sure you get to a meeting. He said, it's not about what you got to hear. He said, people got to hear you too. And I was such a hard-headed person. Nobody could tell me anything, right? I didn't listen to anybody. I used to call it Dieterisms, right? Which is basically, I can do what I want, and I just call it a Dieterism. It's easy. But this guy said that to me, and do you know what? There was something that changed in me, you know? Something that changed in me, which wasn't me. And when I put that phone down, I got up, and I got on my bike, and I cycled all the way from Fulham to West Ealing in the rain, you know? To kind of go to this meeting and you know, go in there. I'm like, yeah, God, you're going to get there, yeah. You know, and then I get to the meeting and it's great, and then the way back was miserable. But you know what, for me, like, that was a change in me, you know. That was a clear change in me. And what began to happen for me was that I began to feel connected. You know, I began to feel connected to, first and foremost, I started to get connected with other people first. Connection with myself took so much longer, you know. I began to get connected to other people. It was that first opportunity or that first ability for me to actually be able to get honest with people. But I also felt connected to life, you know. I used to wake up at 6 in the morning when the sun got up, you know. Bright, alert, full of energy. You know, by 9 o'clock I had so many things done, you know. This sort of 24 hours a day that we had, you know, it was almost like, wow, all of a sudden I've been gifted 24 hours. Because normally it would just be me out my nut or sleeping. And all of a sudden there was this opportunity that was handed to me. You know, and that was an amazing feeling, like truly feeling connected. And the biggest experience of that was you lot, you know. It was the people in the meetings. You know, being able to listen to people, admiring people, not because of what they had, although I did used to watch the fellas with the kettles and all the nice clubber and whatnot, you know, but, you know, listen to people that are on a different footing, you know, the way that they lived their lives, you know, and all of this started to spark it up for me as well. I think the next thing for me about my spiritual journey and my awakening for me was also finding out about my illness, finding out what I suffer from. Because I knew my thinking was dodgy. I knew it was a little bit off, but I didn't know that I was sick, you know. I didn't know, you know, that I suffered from this threefold illness. I didn't know about this allergy, which people talk about. And then it was almost like a light bulb moment for me. It was like, it's like what I call the cocaine equation. You know, Thursday plus cocaine equals Sunday. You know, that's just my experience. You know, that is my, and I'm talking, it could be the smallest crumb of the shittest gear and it's still equals Sunday. And that would happen over and over and over and over again. So when that was explained to me, you know, that lit me up. That really lit me up, and it gave me some freedom. Freedom. That was another experience for me, you know. Because I was in a prison. 5 minutes. Fucking hell. I've got to be honest, this is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, that gave me some freedom. I'm going to start going through this now. So look, do you know what? Listen, realizing that I was sick, realizing that my thoughts were not my reality was just like, wow. Because if I thought it, I thought that it was real. If I thought it, it had happened and it was real. And, you know, and being able to understand that wasn't the case was also amazing for me. But I think my growth mostly has been about finding my higher power within myself. You know, if I close my eyes and I'm still, you know, there's this endless energy in here, you know. And it's that I call my higher power. But the experiences that I've had of working with other people, of seeing other people grow and seeing other people get this has been hugely, hugely amazing for me. You know, the step 11, the prayer and meditation, I've been a keen meditator since I've come in here and just understanding that I don't always have to go with the madness in my head, you know, and also to actually not have 95% of the madness that I used to have, you know, that is just absolutely amazing. You know, there's some special people for me, you know, in these rooms and in this room, and, you know, a couple of months ago, I was sitting down in a meeting with two girls, both in recovery, that were both there when my face changed shape. You know, And the maddest thing is I came in a few years later, and one came in and another one came in. And it was just amazing that, you know, we were all sitting down there in a meeting, you know. And I think, you know, just to sum it up, I think my spirituality is just being about connected to me and being connected to others. You know, I think authenticity, a willingness and a want and a desire to just be honest and true to who I am. Try not to be a see you next Tuesday to other people. Has been a growth in my spirituality. And I will end on this. How long have I got? Beautiful. So I think this was one of these experiences that I was just like, wow. So in 2016, I started working with another sponsor. And by the way, I'm not blowing the smoke up anybody's ass here. But anyway. So I started working with a new sponsor in 2016. And he said to me, have you got a big book, a clean one? I said, yeah. I said, I got one at home. He said, they gave me one in 2006 when I first came to that meeting. So I went home and I found that book. And I'm on my bed and I open the book, and as I open the first page, what do I see? Three numbers. Typical addict, let's get on the phone. So I phone the first number. Bear in mind, this is 10 years later. Phone the first number, Mark, goes to Mark's voicemail. He clearly hasn't sold his phone. He's doing all right. Phone the next guy, goes to his voicemail. Nice, it works, the program works. Phone the third number, which I thought the name was Chris. And I said, hi, is that Chris? He said, no, this is Nicholas. And I said, sorry, what, Nick the Stitch? He said, yes. And I was like, oh, fuck it, that's like Nick. And do you know what, the reason why I say that story, and it still lights me up now, is because, you know, 10 years earlier, you know, I was out there needing help, you know, and somebody was out there to help me, you know, and 10 years later, you know, that person's still here, you know, helping people. So, yeah, just a testament to the program, testament to you lot, and, yeah, I'll leave it there. Thank you.